Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
UConn repeats the Huskies back to back. Champion.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Where does this put UConn?
So this team will absolutely go down in history as one of the all-time greats. And what Dan Hurley has basically put himself in the Hall of Fame.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We were the best team in the country.
Today's guests, ESPN college basketball analyst Jay Billis, Ravens running back Derrick Henry, actor Jermaine Fowler, and now... it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, live on the Roku channel. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate, smart enough to have a Sirius XM, Odyssey, and more. Live in the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles, California. Thrilled to be here with you, chilling out on the Roku channel. Free on every single Roku device known to man. Sirius XM is another way, as I mentioned, to listen to us. And our YouTube listeners and watchers, we say hello to you. We say hello to everybody out there who listen to us on our podcast through the Cumulus Podcast Network. We've got Jay Billis joining us in about 20 minutes' time to talk about what's going on in men's college basketball and women's college basketball. I'm sure Jay will have a couple of cents to say on all that. The actor Jermaine Fowler is in studio in hour number three. TJ, get ready. He's a big wrestling guy. He'll be here in studio. Okay. And then just because we asked and he's kind enough to say, yeah, I'll zoom in, Derrick Henry is going to join us. He's not promoting anything. He's just the diminisher coming to hang with us. Now the Baltimore Ravens. That's in hour number three as well. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, what's up? I can't believe they really let Derrick Henry go to the Ravens. Like, every other team was just like, no, you take him.
Well, I can't wait to ask him if one particular team that said they were going all in ever reached out to him.
Listen. This is crazy. You take him. We don't want him.
That's a legitimate question, like, TJ.
It is legitimate, and it stinks we even have to ask it, but we do.
We do have to ask it. So good to see you, Mike El Tufo. How are you?
I'm living after the eclipse. I'm still alive.
Everyone made it?
Living.
Everyone
we made
alive.
It. What does that mean?
Yeah, your eyes work.
My eyes are functioning.
Nice. Just enough.
My eyes see. You can actually see.
Do you think Pacino put the glasses on and was like outside?
I think he.
My eyes see.
He needed the glasses.
Boom! And my eyes see.
Well, he needed the glasses to read off who was the winner of the best picture.
That really
do you think when he opened that envelope, there were people backstage panicking
please,
a full-blown Warren Beatty fever dream panic?
100%, okay. No doubt.
I'm sorry.
Al, read the card.
It put us in a tangent. I'm sorry.
All right, let's start this show.
Fellas?
You know I like doing this every now and then. I like hitting the Wayback Machine to lend perspective to current events ripped straight from the headlines, right? We start this show on January 18th, 2020. Why are we doing that? Well, the UConn Huskies just lost to Villanova. And the head coach in his second year as the head coach of the UConn Huskies, which was residing and playing its basketball at the time, in its final year in the American Athletic Conference.
Wow.
The AAC's UConn Huskies just lost to the Villanova Wildcats. And again, their head coach in his second year there, coming off his first season there at a 16-17 season, taking over for Kevin Ollie. Dan Hurley had this to say after losing that game to Villanova.
We're on our way back.
You know, we got exciting young players. We got an older group of guys that are gonna get enough wins this year that they'll feel good about the way their career ended. We got some exciting young players that are gonna help lead us back. We're gonna continue to recruit and develop and bring in the type of players that will bring UConn back. You know, people better get us now. That's all. You better get us now, because it's coming.
Well, nobody was thinking anything was coming. After Dan Hurley said, you better get us now. And they weren't thinking that, I'm sure, the following season when they went 15-8. And then even when the next year, in his second year back in the Big East, 23-10. Nobody's thinking that. And nobody was thinking that after UConn lost the Big East tournament final last year, a couple of Marches ago, to Marquette. Nobody was thinking that you better get him now when they showed up as the four seed in last year's NCAA tournament where the committee sent UConn out west. Nobody was thinking it when they took the floor against Iona in the first round last year and then beat the crap out of them. Nobody was thinking about Dan Hurley's UConn Huskies as a team that you better get when you're playing them. Nobody. And then they went on a run for the ages last year and beat the tar out of every single individual that they had in front of them last year in winning the NCAA tournament and sending three of their starters off to the NBA. Sanogo, Hawkins, and Jackson Jr. Adama Sanogo last year, who was dominant.
MOP last year.
He was indeed. Jordan Hawkins, now he's now of the Bucks, by the of the Bulls, by the way. Jordan Hawkins now the Pelicans, and Andre Jackson Jr. is on the Bucks. Lost three starters, their top two scorers. Everyone's like, okay, now is when you can get UConn again, right? Nope. Nope. Last night, the UConn Huskies repeated and became the sixth team to win it all by taking all six games by at least double digits. That's not all. Mm-mm. The 23.3 margin of victory in boat racing their way to going back to back. That's a record. You know what's also a record? They took all six games by a grand total, if you added up all of their win margins together, 140 points. That's a record.
Stupid.
That's a record. In terms of teams to win back-to-back national championships by winning every single game by at least 15 or more points in their repeat campaign, there's the UConn Huskies. And then there's the UCLA Bruins of 1967 through 69. As a matter of fact, if Miami didn't just throw in a couple of garbage points at the final throws of their national semifinal loss to UConn last year, UConn would have won every single game that they went on their back-to-back run by 15 or more points. Miami's the only team to come as close as 13 points of UConn in the last two NCAA men's tournaments. And last night, I mean, my goodness gracious. Last night, Purdue came out on fire. And the player of the year, Zach Edey, who is just
he was great last
absolute
night.
Load.
Yeah.
UConn made the decision of we're going to go one-on-one with him. We got our own seven-footer, and we've got guys that can potentially bother him if we choose to dare to double him, but they basically let him go off and decided to defend the perimeter and take everyone else away. And the final result of that was Zach Edey had 37 and the rest of the Boilermakers had 23. And for only the second time all year long, Purdue attempted fewer than 10 three-point shots. They were one of seven from three.
Wow.
So they let Zach eat and starved the rest of the team. As a matter of fact, if you remember, towards the end of the first half, which again was competitive through,
it was quite, it was
through the first
forth,
half,
yeah.
Right? And you were seeing Purdue get theirs.
Yep. It was low scoring, too. It was
and
the pace that Purdue wanted.
UConn started to get a two-possession lead cooking with 2 minutes and change to go in the half. Purdue got a good look from three, and Dan Hurley called a timeout. When Dan Hurley calls timeouts, he doesn't call timeouts. Like, I think he might actually sprain his fingers, jamming it into the palm of his other hand. And then he's kind of out by the – he could get called for 3 seconds after calling a timeout. That's how far away from the bench he is.
That's when he's not pushing his own players.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He is special, man.
And so his players respond to this. And you are seeing an all-time great run right in front of us in the era of NIL and transfer portals and all of that. And, you know, a lot of these guys aren't going to – you're not going to see them outside of, I would imagine, Stores Chevrolet or, you know, West Hartford Ford or, you know, I don't know if coaches, the bar owned by one of the all-time great UConn head coaches who was apparently there last night.
He was there. Jim Calhoun was there.
Calhoun owned – I don't know if coaches still exist. All I know is I used to go there with Steve Levy and, you know, and get our drinks after hours and pour them into plastic cups. So if the cops came, we would just pour it on the floor. That's what I used to do after sports centers, telling tales out of school.
But you were late 20s back then.
Listen,
different day,
different time. I mean, this is just you know when Ray Allen and Rip Hamilton were making their bones.
Who cares? The Bone Sheffer.
This is an all-time great team. We are witnessing one of the most amazing runs in collegiate sports history. And Dan Hurley was asked exactly where he places his team in that pantheon last night.
Do you feel like this is a historic team, and do you feel like this is one of the greatest teams of all time?
I think it's up there in terms of the greatest two-year runs that a program's maybe ever had, just because, you know, I don't want to, I guess. I can't say anything about Duke because I'm going to piss my brother off. But I guess I could say stuff about Florida. But I love Billy Donovan, so I'm in a bad spot. I just think it's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again, to do what we did again, you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams, and you know we lost some major players.
06-07 Gators and the 91-92 Duke Blue Devils, the only teams to repeat since the 90s, and then you go back to UCLA.
Yeah, you mentioned John Wooden. You know, those other teams just were like, we're going to run it back. And so they had kind of their whole teams.
Hill and Leitner.
This is anybody who can do this in today's age, college football, college basketball, any sport, is so much more impressive to me.
How many fans know about Tristan Newton? Honestly. Because he started last year's national championship game, went 19-10-4 in that.
Yep.
And then last night, here's the list of players to have 20 or more points, 5 or more rebounds, and no turnovers in the national championship game since we're talking about this stat level of, I guess, compiling stats, which is, you know, all time. Do you know how many other players have had that?
I'm going to guess zero.
That's correct.
Yeah.
What more do you need to know? And nobody saw it coming. Not a soul saw it coming. Nope. Dan Hurley said, you better get us when you can, back on January 18th, 2020.
And we're like, okay, bro.
It was right. All the way up until they were the four seed in last year's tournament.
Like, cool. You play in the AAC.
All the way up, like everybody's watching them, you know, beat up on teams in last year's tournament. And then, okay. And even then, it's just like, okay, so you see Miami and San Diego State in your Final Four. There was even some people of the who did you really beat then? Seriously.
Yeah.
And now the question is, who haven't you beaten up? Who haven't you beaten up? They are killing it.
Rich, good teams win. Great teams cover. 12-0 nice, against the spread the last 2 years.
Look at you.
People made some money riding the Husky wave.
And they are killing it. Congratulations to them. And congratulations to you, UConn fans. I know how much you love hoops. You know, I know how much you love them.
Yep.
Well, later on in this program, when we have more real estate, we'll talk about how Dan Hurley's being asked about going to Kentucky. I'll just give you a hint on my take on this. Why the hell would he leave where he is? Why? Honestly, why would you go anywhere else when he's doing it where he is? And I understand money this, money that. I get it.
That would be the only reason.
I get it.
The only reason,
I understand.
Because building a program.
I understand. He's there. I get it.
I mean, Huell is still guarding that money, right? In the
we don't know where Huell is all the way through.
We
didn't even get any hint in Better Call Saul about where Huell is. As a matter of fact, I think we once upon a time
he's still laying on that cash.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I think
Bill Burr. I mean, he might know where it is.
I think we once upon a time asked Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, what happened to Huell, and he's just like, huh.
Huell's a state of mind.
He said Huell's a state of mind. He didn't have an answer. I don't think they ever figured out how to tie up that loose end. All right, let's take a break here. Jay Billis is joining us next right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Cannot wait to talk to one of my favorites about all of this. And you at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. Or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. He is our favorite, and I'm not just saying that because we are two handsome, bald men chopping it up on the Rich Eisen Show.
You going to give him the nod?
I'm giving him the nod. What's up, Jay Billis? How are you, sir? How are you?
Great, Rich. I'm doing great, Rich. How you doing?
We did have Larry David on the other day, and he said that bald men should give each other the sort of recognizable nod just passing by. But he says that if you give that to somebody who doesn't think that they've lost their hair, it could create a very tense situation. Jay.
I saw that. And I happen to agree with Larry David on that one, because there's still guys like us that are in denial, maybe swirling some things around the top and combing things over. Yes. And
Lou Henson,
which
for instance, yeah, you remember the Lou do from back in the day? You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. And there are a lot of friends of mine that are still holding out hope that there's going to be regrowth and somehow You know, maybe they can grow their eyebrows really long and comb them back. It's not coming back. It's time to wave the white flag and surrender.
And just give the nod. Good to see you, Jay Billis. Good to see you. I give you the floor on the UConn men's basketball program and your 2 cents on them, Jay.
It's remarkable. To win back to back is one thing, and there are very precious few teams that have ever done that. Florida being the last in 06, 07, and before that, it was in the early 90s with Duke in 91 and 92. But the way they did it, it's the first in a long time that they've done it essentially with two different teams, because this team is substantially different from last year's team at UConn. And then the fact that they've gone 12 straight NCAA tournament games winning by double digits. Nobody's ever done that. Not the UCLA teams of Wooden, not the great Duke teams of the early 90s, not the Florida teams, not the dominant Georgetown teams. Nobody's done it. And in an era where we are throwing around the word parity, and I think there is talent spread across the country more than ever, in large part due to NIL and the transfer portal, but UConn has been the most dominant. And one last thing on this, Rich, like, you know, there was some talk last year about, is UConn now among the blue bloods? And since 1999, this is six titles. Nobody's come close to that. And if you go to 1960, take it back, you know, 50, 60 years, you know, half of Kentucky's titles were won before 1960. They won a couple in the 40s and a couple in the 50s. And even if you go back 50 years, UConn's won as much or more than any program in college basketball history. They're not only a blue blood, you can make an argument now, they're the best program that we've seen since UCLA in the 60s and 70s. It's them and UCLA.
Yeah, and that's why I kind of find it laughable. And again, it's not my bank account that Dan Hurley's got his P's and Q's on that, but it's laughable. They're saying, do you want to go to Kentucky? You know, like, is this a stepping stone, or UConn is the spot? I mean, Gino Auriemma is going to the Hall of Fame, or I think he's probably already in it, you know, from UConn. Why not Dan Hurley? I don't understand that concept.
Well, I mean, I agree with you on the basketball front that there's no better place for Dan Hurley, especially given his background, where he's from, the footprint that UConn has in the Northeast and how they can recruit. The only thing I would say that makes a place like Kentucky a thought for someone like Dan Hurley, or for Dan Hurley specifically, is the changing nature of the basketball landscape and the college sports landscape, that things are evolving to the point where if you're not in a Power Five league, you can be compromised in the future. That this is still about resources and money. And now that the players are sitting at the table, they're sitting at the kids' table now. They're allowed to make something, but they're not realizing their full value. They will soon. And when they do, those resources are going to be important. And there's a thought that college sports may contract a little bit, and the big shots will play amongst themselves, and then everybody else is going to feel like it won't be like this, but it'll feel like it's more of a Division II feel. And so that would be the only reason you would look at that. But I don't think Dan Hurley's going anywhere, because that fits him really well. And I do think the Northeast connection is really important. You know, his brother Bobby is out here in Arizona at Arizona State, and he's done well, but it's not necessarily who he is. And so I think Dan Hurley recognizes that. And look, he's at the top of the game and at the top of his game. So he's going to be fine. Like, he'll get taken care of. But is it going to be enough program wise and money wise for players and things like that? And is it going to be that way for the long term? That's the only reason to consider a place like Kentucky. Mm-hmm.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So would you advocate for Dan Hurley to maybe consider that, like, down the road? Because you're the one who's at the forefront, at the you know, the vanguard of knowing what's next and how things might change. And so long term, would you advocate for Dan Hurley to move to Kentucky, Jay?
No, I wouldn't advocate moving, but I would advocate using the leverage that a move brings. I think for what the Kentucky opening does is create leverage for other coaches. So whether it's Dan Hurley or Nate Oates or you name it, Scott Drew, it allows you to, your university wants you. And you've got leverage to say, well, I need this. I need this for my staff. I need this for NIL. I need this for facilities, whatever it is. It's not just necessarily about you. But hey, look, when the schools have leverage over the coaches, they use it. And coaches have to use it too. And I'm one of those that even when I'm at my happiest level, if there's, why would you not consider another offer? You consider it and think about it. But if it helps you, if it gives you leverage, you use it to your benefit. It doesn't mean you have to go. I don't see Dan Hurley leaving now or really at any time in the future because things are so good there. But you certainly should use it to your advantage because your employer will use it to their advantage.
Yeah, I think we saw a couple of coaches use that Alabama football opening to their advantage to stay put and. Before Alabama finally, you know, found Kalen DeBoer to come and be the successor to Nick Saban. Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So what is Dan Hurley's secret sauce in this era where, as you pointed out, NIL and transfer portal have sort of flattened out the earth in college basketball, Jay?
I think it comes down to almost one word or concept, and that's relentless. He's relentless. Everywhere UConn goes, they take with them a poster board of the NCAA championship trophy, and they put it on a little easel at center, you know, sort of off the court, right about center court. And it's present with them all the time. It's just their mindset that they're pursuing a championship. And, you know, Dan's got his little quirks and superstitions and all that stuff. And he's really funny. He's a great guy and all that. But on the court, there's not much difference between him and a guy like Jim Calhoun and how demanding they are their players. But then a minute later, he puts his arm around him and makes everything better. And he recruits players that are willing to do that and that have that same sense that they don't want to be satisfied with what they just did. They're, you know, next play mentality. And I know people say that a lot. But they actually do it, and it's really beautiful. But they're also very modern. Like their offense, and that's one of the things, you know, start comparing this run to the great ones of the past, and is this team one of the greatest ever? I think it is, because I think the teams we're talking about, whether it's, you know, you name it, Florida or Georgetown or Duke or all these different programs, they all those players, as great as they were, would have a hard time guarding this UConn offense because it's like a European pro offense. The passing and cutting, they move players around. I mean, it is really difficult to deal with. Doesn't mean they're not going to have a bad shooting night or something like that. Go 3 for 17 from three, that happens. But, you know, the game plan they had against Purdue, I thought, was brilliant. They basically said, Zach Edey's going to score. Let's make it really difficult on him. But let's make sure that we're not going to double and open up three-point opportunities where we got to close out to one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. And they limited Purdue to 7 3-point attempts, which is hard to fathom. And they only made one of those seven because of the pressure that UConn was able to put on them because they stayed home on shooters. But it's one thing to have that game plan. It's another thing to execute it to that level. And they did. They basically said, hey, Purdue and Zach Edey, you're great, but see if you can make enough twos to beat us. And we're not going to put you on the free throw line. And they executed it. And they beat them in the paint. They out-rebounded them. The guards dominated the Purdue guards. And Purdue is really good. And they were made to look like they weren't by a UConn team that was just frankly better.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. NBA draft coming around the corner in June. And during the game, when things were getting out of hand, I just decided to check on Zach Edey's draft stock, and I'll be straight up with you. I was a little surprised to see there are some who don't even think he's a potential top 20 pick and things of that nature, Jay. And he's a two-time Naismith Award winner here. What's Zach's future, do you think,
Jay? Well, he's going to play in the NBA, and as long as he stays healthy, he'll play for a long time. He's only been playing organized basketball for 7 years. You know, he's from Toronto, Ontario, grew up playing hockey and baseball, and obviously when you're as big as he is, basketball is going to be a part of your life. But he has you could argue, Rich, that he's the most improved player from last year to this year as the National Player of the Year. And the numbers he put up this year, I don't remember him even having a bad game. He might have had a game where it wasn't up to his standard, but he hadn't had a bad one. And he's the most impactful player in America on the college level. And I think not only is there a place for him in the NBA, there's a significant place. Now, the entire game has changed, but he's not going to be like no NBA team is going to all of a sudden turn into a low post centric offense. It's still going to be an analytics game about the 3-point line and about attacking the rim. But to have a player like that on your team, he's going to play a long time. Now, whether he's drafted in the top 15 or what, this year's draft is not as powerful as last year's. There's no Wembanyama in this draft. And nobody you would say is a transformational talent, but there's a lot of talent. And but I look at him, you know, being a top 15 or top 20 pick. But last year at this time, people were saying he wouldn't even get drafted because the game's changed so much. It hasn't changed that much where a guy that's 7'4" and that effective is not going to find a place in the league. And frankly, I think a number of those players last night, like I think Cam Spencer is going to play in the NBA. Tristan Newton's going to play in the NBA. There's a lot of talent on those teams, but especially a lot of talent on that UConn team that'll play at the next level.
Hey, man, Tristan Newton's good. That guy is a good basketball player, Jay, and he's proven it. I mean, It's kind of crazy. You got to pound the table for somebody who is a crucial player in a back-to-back NBA, NCAA men's tournament champion. That guy can play. That guy.
Well, he was the Bob Cousy Award winner this year as the nation's best point guard. I think he's got 4 triple doubles in his career, 2 of them this year, and I think he's got 5. He had a couple last year as well. But he's big. He can rebound. He's an excellent passer, and he can shoot a little bit. But he's really good getting to the basket. Some of the finishes he had over and around Zach Edey last night, I thought were outstanding. I mean, he's a big time player, and for him, he was equally as good last year in the NCAA championship game when they played San Diego State as he was against Purdue last night. I mean, he had 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, and the last player to do that to go at least 25-5 in a championship game. When his team won was Carmelo Anthony back in 2003. And it's not like there haven't been good players in the last 21 years.
Yeah, right.
And he's doing that. He's legit. I agree. And he's a transfer. He was at East Carolina. He's from El Paso, Texas, started his career at East Carolina and then transferred to UConn. And that's one of the things about the transfer portal that I love is that players aren't relegated to where they were evaluated out of high school. So we're seeing a lot of these players that go to a mid-major school and they kill it, and they don't have to stay there or give up a year of their life if they want to transfer and sit out. Now they can transfer to the bigger stage, and he was dominant on that stage.
Hey, man, not to sound like you, but I mean, if a chicken magnate can buy out, John Calipari and let him move, why can't a player do that and not have a buyout? Just go in the portal like that. Honestly, there's not much different other than just a buyout being put on the table by somebody who's insanely rich who wants his buddy to coach his team. You know what I mean?
That's sort of the issue. And I know coaches don't like it when I say this because it sounds kind of snarky, but the coaches transfer portal is always open and they have contracts and you have coaches that leave like days after they say, no, this is where I want to be. And they've got John Calipari had a lifetime contract. Well, he knew what lifetime meant when he signed it, and nobody, you don't hear any coaches coming out saying, this is wrong. John Calipari is facing a little bit of adversity, and he's running away from the adversity. And what about commitment? You don't say any of that stuff. They only say it about players. And players have the same wants and needs as coaches. you know, they want to be used the right way, and they want to be valued, and their careers are a lot shorter as players. And so, look, I get it that there are difficulties that come with the transfer portal. Roster certainty is more difficult. I get it. And I'm sympathetic to the coaches. I really am. But not to the point where you want to restrict player movement without them being compensated. Now, if they were signed to contracts and they had buyouts and all, which is, I think, where the NCAA will and should go, then I'm fine. Then that's fine, because those are arm's length negotiations that the player and the university agreed to. But absent that, they're just students to be treated like any other student, as the NCAA says it. And athletes transfer at a much lower rate than non-athlete students do. So to me, it's much ado about nothing. The players should be able to move until they're compensated appropriately.
Jay Billis here on the Rich Eisen Show. So I'll ask you a sports talk radio question, sending you out to the door, Jay. Three-peating, what do you think? Why not, right, for UConn?
Why not? Yeah, I wouldn't put it past them, because they're going to have players come back. I think there's a very good chance that Donovan Klingon comes back. They're going to lose Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer. Those guys are out of eligibility. And I think Stephon Castle, their freshman, will go into the draft. He's going to be highly rated and highly coveted. But having Klingon back and Samson Johnson and some of the guys they have on the bench that are good players, Solomon Ball's a really good player, and they'll go into the portal. They've got really good freshmen coming in. I don't see an end to the national competitiveness just because they're going to lose some players. And look what they lost last year and win it again. They're the real deal. And Danny Hurley is the real deal. And they're not going anywhere. Not at all.
What did you think of that moment where I didn't see it live because the ref seemed to warn Hurley for what I thought was language, and then there was a turnover. Then they gave the ball to Purdue, and I'm like, what the hell happened? And then the CBS cameras caught it. He went on the floor. He shoved his player like to say move, you know, like run the play. What did you think of when you saw that, Jay?
I did. I was calling the game courtside for ESPN International, right? So I'm a huge star in Micronesia right now. Our ratings were through the roof. But I didn't see that happen. I was like, what happened? I mean, was it a 5 second violation or something that he didn't dribble when he was closely guarded? And then we saw the replay as well. And I haven't really, honestly, I can't remember having seen that before. I've seen coaches out on the floor, and I've seen guys, push a player, to get back in the game or something like that. But I'd never seen it when a guy was actually holding the ball. And there was another exchange after Zach Edey had said a pretty violent pick. There was nothing illegal about it, but he said a pretty violent pick.
Right.
There was a timeout, and he was walking by Hurley, and those two exchanged words. And I was thinking, if that doesn't show what a competitor Dan Hurley is, because I think Zach Edey with his left thumb could crush Danny Hurley like an empty soda can if he wanted to. I thought it was funny. I'm pretty sure he got warned about that, because I saw the officials kind of talking to one another about that exchange. But I thought it was pretty funny, because he would have been like Van Gundy hanging on to Alonzo Mourning by the ankle. Yeah. I mean, and it probably would have been worse than that. That was Van Gundy's toughest moment as a human being. He showed the most moxie or spunk or whatever other STD you can think of.
Oh my God. Cause he, we had Leitner on the show the other day, Jay, and he talked about meeting Danny Hurley for the first time through Bobby and how he was busting Danny's stones, and it got awkward fast. He said it got really weird and awkward fast.
Well, first of all, there's no one who Leitner wouldn't bust their stones.
Right.
I mean, I was a grad assistant when he was a player, and he was relentlessly brutal in that. But the Hurley family, that Jersey City stuff, they don't back down to anything. So I'm not surprised that it got awkward.
Before I let you go, Jay, I know you're a golfer. You got a choice for the Masters. What do you think?
I think Rory's actually gonna do so. Like, it's hard to bet against Scheffler right now, because right, he's been so dominant. But he's starting to look Tiger-esque in that regard. I know that's blasphemy to even suggest that, but I think Rory's gonna do something this weekend, and I hope the weather's good because I can't wait to park myself in front of the TV and watch that.
I bet. I mean, but Rory, that's like a broken clock's gonna be right once at Augusta, right? I mean, you know
what
I mean?
It just needs to be.
It's just every year.
The game needs him. The game needs him. And when he's great, the game's better. And I'm one of those, like, I enjoyed watching UConn dominate. And I know other people might want to watch a close game. But I like watching when there's a dominant presence on the PGA Tour. That's when I like it the best. I think it's awesome.
Jay, thanks for the time. You are awesome as well. Are you coming whenever you're out here in LA? Let me know. I'd love to have you here again.
I'll be out there in July. So book it.
Let's do it. All right, Jay. You be well, sir. Thanks.
All right, brother.
You bet. That's Jay Billis. First time I've ever. Of course, he's the odds-on favorite. If I told you there would be a guest who would make a Rich Eisen show first by dropping the word Micronesia, it would be Jay, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
He's the odds-on favorite. He'd be plus what? Yeah. He'd be plus what?
Well, Scheffler is like plus 430 to win this week, so he'd be around Scheffler.
He'd be plus 430?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's tee times, are there not?
Oh, Rich, tee times, guys are talking.
Okay.
Got some Tiger sound.
Do we do?
Oh, let's go, baby.
Okay. Can we do that? Can we promise that when we come back?
We can.
Okay.
We can.
All right, then. Then let's do that. All That's right still to is. Come right next on The Rich Eisen Show.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, now it's just nonstop activity in the month of April. The idea that April is one of the best sports months it gets brought up every now and then. I don't know. There's no football in it other than the draft. I know what you're looking at. Hey, nothing's better than playing football. With all due respect to the UFL, and I'm sorry, Mike. I apologize to you and The Rock.
Yeah, the disrespect.
It's not. It's come
the
on.
Hell going on.
Come on, guys.
Disrespect is real.
I get it. I understand. You know. And by the way, if I'm not mistaken, you're seeing a kicker in the UFL kick 60-yard field goals like they're crazy.
Twice.
Saying, take that, Larry David.
In a row.
You're calling my boss to say, remove the goalposts and look at me.
Back to back.
You know what I mean?
We actually were aired on Saturday, I believe, part of our show with that.
Which is what?
About
our
the
show.
Yeah.
ESPN,
our show.
ESPN.
Yeah. I knew about that because they reached out to me as the, one would say, host of this program and runner of the production company that owns this program. I heard about it, Mike.
Okay.
But I appreciate you reaching out to me saying, hey, I saw it. You were too busy working faders.
People were like, you're on the TV. It was
The problem with the football months is there's no meaningful hockey or basketball being played or golf.
What meaningful basketball is being played right now in the NBA?
In April, we're going to get playoffs.
Okay.
Hockey, we're going to get playoffs.
Yeah, but hockey, let's do that hockey.
The NBA playoffs, like, you know, okay, so somebody takes game one by 25 points, they'll take game two by 25 points. You know what I mean? Like, it's, come on, man. All right.
Does your lawn need mowing?
You are never going to push me off of playing NFL playing season is the best sports month, period.
What is college football? So October, you like October?
October's outstanding.
October's better than April?
Absolutely. I would take October over April.
Wow. Oh, Rich.
All right, I'm putting it up.
Now, I understand April's got baseball opening day, and it's got the Final Four, and it's got the Masters, and it's got
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania,
playoffs.
Yeah. At the beginning of the NBA playoffs, and I know what I'm saying is blasphemous to the NHL, which is kind enough to, in this very hour tomorrow, We are having the Stanley Cup here.
Whoa.
The Stanley Cup is here for the entire first hour of tomorrow's program, and we are interviewing the keeper of the cup.
Well,
the
maybe until
well,
they
I can't
heard
wait
this,
to chat
so
with.
Now we might.
No, 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 no. I'm not saying I'm uninterested.
I'm saying I
the Rock scheduled. Okay. Now he won't come back.
Okay.
Thanks, Rich.
Okay. Yeah, the Rock was going to meet me.
Okay.
Take a picture.
I've now alienated tomorrow's guests. Multiple sports leagues, The Rock.
I might not.
Which, by the way, you know what? I'm just going heel on The Rock.
Well, there you go.
He shouldn't he respect that?
And the final boss that. Probably would appreciate that about you.
Which means get some new shirts, though. You know what I mean? Some sunglasses.
Richard Versace.
He doesn't wear a shirt. What shirt does he wear?
He wears a shirt.
The Rock shirts lately have been.
It's medium?
I mean, well, anything's a medium.
No sleeves,
that
got a little collar going.
Well, I mean, is that part of the heel?
Basically, sleeveless
Elvis. That's the final boss look. You get a vest that somewhat resembles something Elvis may have worn. Yep. He had so many peanut butter.
See, but if
sandwiches.
I wore that, people would be like, "Is it Halloween?" You know, that's
well,
just not my.
With all due respect,
that's not
you're
me.
Not built like The Rock, though, either.
So. I appreciate you saying, with all due respect, yeah, you could have just said that.
Well,
with all due respect,
I don't take that as disrespectful.
But again, not many people are.
Have we strolled into a poll question as to what's the best sports month?
Best sports month, April or October?
Well, I mean, there's November.
No, there's not.
What do you mean?
October is. Baseball, World Series,
The World Series sometimes goes into Game 7. Mr. November, Derek Jeter is the first Mr. November.
NBA starts, hockey starts.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So you choose, it's either one of the two.
I'm choosing October, April or October.
Okay. Very good.
Only 40 times have a World Series gone to 7 games.
You have some tea times? What do you got?
Oh, Rich.
We'll save the Tiger sound for later on next hour.
Okay, great. Well, let me pull it out. I thought we were going Tiger sound here.
No, it's all right.
Okay, so feature group. Tiger is playing in the afternoon on Thursday.
All right.
Okay, and he's playing with Jason Day and Max Homa.
Oh, how cool.
1:24 Eastern.
All right, so that means that we get to, we'll see his entire round on ESPN pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Defending champ John Rahm, he's going off early. Ish on Thursday, 10:30 Eastern.
Did he already serve the paella, or is that tonight? Tonight's the paella night.
Dinner is
so tomorrow we get to do our thing on the champions dinner photograph.
The champions dinner masters
where people
photograph.
Stand, where they are. They always put VJ in the back because he's tall, right?
He's so tall, and Ernie, Ernie number one.
Dustin Johnson, right?
Dustin Johnson's very tall.
Okay,
I remember last year the whole thing was Phil didn't speak to anyone at the champions dinner. He was very.
Oh, because it was a live tour thing?
Very subdued.
Oh, okay, all that.
Because it was kind of the height of all the
All
the BS.
Yeah, because people in that room would never appreciate a money grab. Okay.
So John Rahm is playing with Matt Fitzpatrick, former U.S. Open champion, and Nick Dunlap, who kind of took the world by storm. One is an amateur out in Palm Springs and then turned pro right there.
Interesting pairing. Interesting pairing.
The money group of the day.
Is Rory?
Of the first 2 days.
Rory?
Scotty Scheffler.
Yeah.
Huge favorite. We haven't seen a favorite this low since Tiger.
Okay.
Like 15 years ago. Playing with Rory and Xander Schauffele.
Oh, boy.
Three heavyweights. Three of the favorites. Got to think the winner might come from that group.
They're going off in the morning tomorrow, or is that the afternoon? That's got to be an afternoon thing. They want to give ESPN that big mother load, right?
I would imagine that's an afternoon. I just had it in front of me. But that's kind of the one of the big premier groups. Of the. I firmly believe the winner comes from that group. That's a 10:42, so they're going off right after Rahm.
Oh, so that's right before we go on the air tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then 10:18 Eastern, Hideki, former winner, playing with Will Zalatoris, who's been awesome
Thursday,
in majors.
Tomorrow,
this is Thursday. And Justin Thomas, who's kind of struggled this year, but that's the 10:18 group.
And by the way, it is the return of me hitting that cloud button on the Masters app on my phone. The Masters app. Listen, Augusta National, whoever does the app for you, greatest sports app,
goodness.
Period. It's the greatest sports app.
Raise every single year. Every single year. Just give that person a raise. They're so good.
Okay, very good.
Yeah.
Good pairings update.
Some great pairings.
We'll hear from Tiger next hour. Okay. Whole hours for you at 844-204-RICH. Number to dial as well. Before Derrick Henry, the diminisher, top of hour three.
Now, people love Brooks Koepka in these things. Hadn't heard from Brooks last year. Was leading most of the tournament before Rahm kind of sniped him at the end. He is playing with Brian Harman
and Tom Kim. Now, this is important because Brian Harman won last year's British Open.
Mm-hmm.
One of the slowest players on
tour. Oh, no.
And we know if Brooks hates anything, it's slow play.
But who loves slow play? Nobody. There's not a single human being on planet that loves
Brian Harman likes slow play. Patrick Cantlay likes slow play.
Yeah, but even they, but those people probably don't realize how freaking
the
slow they are.
Players on tour, yeah.
Until they realize the death stares that are coming their way.
So I was like, Major Brooks, we got to waste. I'm kind of fading Brooks this week. I think he's going to be too frustrated with the slow play.
Come on.
The first two days.
He's fine with it. Don't.
Frustrated.
Dude, honestly, name me a human being that doesn't mind slow play. Hey, you know what? I don't mind playing with that guy because or that lady.
It takes 6 hours.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, brutal.
Doesn't matter.
A fun group could be Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, and Cam Smith.
Okay.
They're at 10:54. Freddie Couples back in the field this year.
Awesome.
Playing at 11:54 with Adam Hadwin, the Canadian. They're going to have a great time.
Can you get some action on whether he makes the weekend? Because
Freddie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time.
I can.
You should do that for yourself.
I can do that.
As you know, I'm not advocating this sort of thing, nor am I allowed to partake.
Individual sport, you're allowed.
Technically, I am.
Yeah. Technically, individual sport.
I don't even know. It's not even worth it. It's not even worth it.
Phil's playing with Sepp Straka and Tony Finau, 9:36.
Look at you disseminating information up to the final second.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.